Hey guys, Adam here. I just wanted to say a couple quick things before the start of this episode. First off, thank you so much for all the activity on our Discord, and our Patreon. We're so pumped. We love you guys so much, and we're so grateful for this community. One thing that I want to talk about our Patreon, and this isn't a plug for it, is there's a tier on there where you guys get to have votes for things that influence the show. And we actually sometimes, just to give ourselves a little bit of buffer, we record episodes a little bit in advance. So sometimes when we put up polls for episodes, it takes a couple episodes for your votes to really impact the world. But I just wanted to say, guys, I promise those impacts are very real. We just recorded an episode where something that everyone just voted on majorly impacted the story. And you guys will see it in a couple episodes. But I just wanted to let you guys know those votes do have an impact. All right, enough about that. Let's get on with the show.
Now, I take a knee beside him. I'm going to do an intimidation check.
Can I help him?
Yeah, let's see what he has to say.
Yeah, let's go. Big and small. Let's go.
And I say, you know, there's three things I don't accept in this world. That's liars, cheaters, and thieves.
Okay.
Oh, I got a 9.
Help, can I help?
Okay, yeah.
He's helping. Oh, yeah.
All right, I will allow you to roll or Goran to re-roll.
Roll Goran, can have advantage.
A 10.
Wow. That
can I try to help too?
All right, I'll increase the DC, but you can. What do you do?
We're gonna set it off. Time to step inside. Well, everything comes down to the dice. A table of friends and a DM in a radical magical fantasy land. In a radical magical fantasy land.
And hello, everyone! Hello. Welcome to the show! Welcome to episode 14 of Down to the Dice. We are a live play D&D 14? Podcast. Playtesting. I know, it's crazy.
Feels like we just did 13.
Feels like we just got started.
I feel like it also feels like just like yesterday. Yeah, honestly, it does feel like that. And this has been such a journey so far. So everyone, thanks for listening. This is a live play D&D Podcast. We're playtesting new material. This is the show where everything... We do. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate that you like the show. That this is what I'm trying to say is our tagline. Everything that happens here is up to the players
and down to the dice.
Nice. And I like that people say it with me now, kind of. Right. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun as I continue to get used to it. Daniel, as the spirit moves you, man. But I do hope you partake. All right, everyone. We had just finished an awesome epic battle. And so we're just going to get right back into things. We'll share the announcements and then we'll get into it. But before we do that, I just want to introduce all of our characters. We're going to start with Ryan Tunney.
Yeah, finally first. Sweet. I am Goran still pending your paladin orc. Man.
This is the first time you've been first?
This is the first time because I'm always last. Oh, even though when you switch up yours, I still become last.
Jake Joseph.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? I play Shran Dagani, your druid tiefling with a chthonic background. First time, baby! Boom, 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 boom! Boom, 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 boom! Well, I thought we were all doing this, guys.
Alexander Anderson.
Hey, everybody. I play Aven Corbound. I mean, Shadowborn.
Spoiler. Okay. All right. You don't remember that. That was a dream.
Yeah, I know.
And if people don't understand what that means, it doesn't really matter. Okay. And last but not least, we have Dan Summer.
Hello. My name is... Never mind. I play Conroy Kane.
I'm a bad Artling Rogue. And he's super cute. And of course, my name's Adam, in case I forgot to say that. Here are the announcements. All right, so the announcements. Okay, let's get going. So first one is, hey, we are playing playtest material. This is 5.5 edition. Kind of, it's in the works. The official rules are getting announced very soon. But if you guys have any questions about how the rules work, we have a Discord channel where you guys can ask any questions. We clarify everything as we go. But yeah, just want to let you guys know that those rules are under revision all the time. So the things that our characters can do, the druid just got another revision. They can't seem to make up their mind on that. But yeah, just stay tuned on that. We always always try our best to explain changes in rules and classes and abilities as they come up. Second announcement is we have a Patreon. If you want to support us, you can always go on there. We have a bunch of different tiers where you can vote for things that influence the show. You get access to bonus episodes. But the biggest thing you can do is entirely for free, and it's just to recommend our podcast to a friend, a family member, someone who you think would enjoy the show, even if they've never played D&D before. Recommend us to someone. That helps us out a lot more than we could probably convey. All right, is everybody ready to begin?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Okay, Ryan, you know what I need before I do my recap.
I'll give it to you, baby. Wow. That is passion. That is passion.
I want some of what he has, man.
Hope nobody's sleeping at your house.
Not anymore.
Our party had just survived an intense encounter with a broken levitation construct on the property of the Stella Artois estate. After chasing down some leads about who tried to assassinate Beethoven Nightgrounds, their quest had taken them here on a distant floating island, and now you have one cultist still alive standing there, probably afraid that you're going to kill him, or at the very least, ask him questions he doesn't want to answer. You guys stand there licking your wounds. Beethoven is there, still alive. Istra is back on the ship, waiting for you guys to be done with your exploration of this place. Shran, Avon, Conroy, and Gorin, what happens next is up to you and down to the dice.
Whoa! Did anybody see me land that kidding shot? That was crazy! I am a legend! Beethoven comes running up to you guys, bow in hand. What do you guys do?
Still floating in the air, I yell down at him, "Who's the legend from down there?"
Oh, so you're still floating, eh?
I'm still levitating 30 feet in the air.
I look up with my arms in like a carry position. "You're safe to come down now."
Avon kind of looks around. He's like, "How do I get down?" Because he can't quite remember.
Okay, great. I love it. And Conroy, what are you doing?
I'm just chilling with this cultist and like waiting for everyone to kind of recoup, and I'm ready for somebody else to interrogate him.
Okay. I saunter up to underneath Avon and with Gorin. I say, "Avon, do you not know how to get down?"
I use the staff and it helped me fly. I don't know how to get down.
As I look around up at Avon and I kind of start going through my pack DM for like a sleep roll or like some kind of a sheet. And I kind of absentmindedly toss half to Gorin as if we're going to make like a landing pad. I glance over the wreckage of this creature we just defeated, and I want to start kind of looking for any kind of loot. I say, Gorin, here, take an end.
All right.
So Gorin and Sean, you guys pull out this blanket to kind of make like a little catch trampoline. But as you're looking, Sean, give me a perception check.
Okay. Well, could it be investigation since I'm looking for loot, or...?
You would have to be more tactile, but if you're holding a blanket, you're just using your eyes.
Okay. 10 DM.
Okay. You see a bunch of shrapnel spread out through the tall grass. You'd have to go digging deeper to find anything.
Okay.
Avon, I'm going to leave it up to you to see how long Avon remembers he's stuck up there for.
Avon's going to take the staff and start pointing it at his arm again, like, "Go down, lower, descend." And then I'm just going to just smack my arm and hopefully it'll drop me down.
Okay. And you, I'll say as you will yourself, you move down 10 feet every 6 seconds.
Okay.
Which is how long a turn in combat takes. And you get to the bottom.
And then
as soon as you do, your staff, the tendrils, which are usually curled out, they're extended right now. And you notice they no longer have any yellow energy in them.
Okay. It's
such is their nature.
Yeah.
Okay. All four of you, and then five, including Beethoven, six, including the cultist, are all there catching your breath.
I give Avon what's the word? In camaraderie, I give Oleg like a punch on the shoulder, and I say, "You all right, mate?"
I kind of look back at him, and you know, he can see a little bit of blood coming from the corner of his mouth. Like, "I feel fine, quite fine." Yeah.
Yeah, you look as good as I feel. Because honestly, Sean is hurting too. And I say, "Connie!" And I kind of put my right hand like on my lower back as I turn to start going through these weeds here, I say, "Connie, we all saw what you did. You slayed it, mate. Literally." And I start going through the grass Especially DM, I'm trying to find some remnants of Aetherium. Not that I actually know that's what it's called, but I'm extremely fascinated in this other kind of stone. And I think it's really the only hard evidence that we have of anything going on here that I think, I bet you this is connected somehow to what's going on with the Nightcrowns and the Artois.
Okay. Okay. Give me an investigation check.
Come on, dice. Don't let me down. Nat one.
Aww.
I know. Man. Wow.
And not one.
Yeah.
It's episode 13 all over again.
As you begin to rummage around, you get a little lightheaded because of just all the injuries that you sustained, and you think maybe you'll look later. You're not sure. And man. Beethoven says, "Man, that was absolutely crazy. Whatever was that thing? You know, first you guys were flying away, and I took out the pilot, and then this monster came, and I shot that thing too. And wow, this is crazy.
Oh, this guy.
You thought his sister was bad."
and suddenly the cultist speaks up, and he says, "Where am I?
No.
Who are you?
No. Don't you even do that. I go over there. You don't get to do that stuff. You're not mind controlled. You know who you are. You know what you did.
He puts his hands up to his eyes and he says,
"I don't know where I am."
Can Aven walk over and using the butt end of his crossbow, you do a non-lethal attack just to knock him unconscious?
No! Unconscious.
Like not dead, unconscious.
How close are we all to him? This needs to stop.
I think you're all within standing distance.
I put my friggin' big mitt out. No, we need him awake.
No, we can take him back to the ship.
But I'm useless. I don't know anything.
Quiet. Don't knock him out.
We don't need
Once
him
he
on
stops
the ship.
His jibber jabber, we can get some information out of him.
What is a ship?
Shran puts his hand on Gorin's shoulder, the same way that Gorin is putting his hand on Avon's sword, and I say, "He means please, Avon. Don't you, Gorin?"
I hold Sean's hand.
And Beethoven comes up and he puts his hand on your head.
Oh my god.
It's hilarious.
And then the cultist tries to go and hold Beethoven's hand. And Beethoven goes, "Ew, gross."
We need a fan art of this, please.
That's so funny.
I say, "Listen, mate. Mr. Cultist, what's your name?"
"I don't even remember my name."
"Listen, we are here to ascertain information. That's it. No one else has got to die. No one's got to get hurt. But something's going on here. It's obvious you work for someone. You just got to tell us the next step up. That's the easiest way to get out of all the pain that's coming for you right now. I am trying to help you, all right?"
I don't know anything. Last thing I remember, I was working in my father's field.
DM, can I do an insight check?
Yeah, sure.
Actually,
maybe he really is brainwashed.
Actually, I was going to see.
I got a 17.
Nice.
He's lying, bro. He's like totally making it up. I'm brainwashed.
Now, I take a knee beside him. I'm going to do an intimidation check.
Okay.
I'm going to say my thing first before I roll.
Can I help him?
Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah, let's go, big and small. Let's go.
And I say, "You know, there's three things I don't accept in this world. That's liars, cheaters, and thieves. And I deem you a liar right now, so you damn well better tell me the truth."
Okay.
I got a 9.
Can I help him?
Okay, yeah, Conroy, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Conroy, what do you do to assist
us? I just want to, because I was the one that, took him out, tied him up. I just want to, stand beside Conroy as he's kneeling down, which I guess we're now the same height.
Gorin, but Nitra.
Sorry. But beside Gorin and just, cross my arms right beside him. Just, give him
Yeah, tell him,
look.
Boss.
All right, I will allow you to roll or Gorin to re-roll.
Roll Gorin can have advantage.
Come on, man.
A 10.
Wow. That,
Can I try to help, too?
All right. I'll increase the DC, but you can. What do you do?
Aven picks up, since he's not allowed to butt the guy, he goes and aims at the dead one and just shoots him again.
Oh, boy.
The dead cultist.
The dead cultist. Just like.
That was
always
savage, man.
Always double tap.
All right. Okay, Gorin, you can roll again, or Aven, you can roll.
I'm going to let Ryan roll. I want him.
Oh, my friggin' God.
Oh, my God.
That's a 12?
Come on.
That was the DC, but it raised.
Oh, my God. I'm so... Thank you guys so much. I'm so sorry. I'll see myself out.
And he just says, I don't know anything. Honestly, I didn't know Bertrand. I mean, I didn't know that guy.
All right.
You just said his name.
Right. DM,
listen,
real quick.
Listen. Yep.
DM, I'm assuming that Sean's skin is covered in blood and in dirt after being thrown in the ground and landing, trying to get out of this sky jet when it crashed and stuff. Is my skin, other than that, looking quote-unquote normal?
Let me roll for something. You think that thought. And as you do, you try to, like, dismiss it from your mind, and then you absently, like, swat at something that you feel like a bug crawling on your neck. And as you go to swat it, you feel something much larger there, like something with wings and limbs, and you swat it away. And as you look down to see if it's on your hand, you see that your fingertips in the skin of your palm have been ripped off. And it looks as if, like, when you first tore your hand away from that windowsill, the last time you had a vision like this, and instinctively you look up at the sky, and you see the moon maybe 75 feet away from you. Just taking up your entire vision, dark green. And suddenly, the moon's a massive break appears in it. And it begins to open like the parting of two pages of a book. And you see long fingers begin to pry out. And then suddenly you feel a hand tap on your shoulder. And it is Avon saying, hey, need you to focus here. And you're back to the present.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
I don't know anything.
I grab this guy by the fabric in front of his shoulders. And I just go to touch my forehead to his in a way that my antlers start to kind of poke at his scalp.
And the one that's been chopped off presses in particularly painfully.
Yeah. And I say, I'm just about done being nice. I would like to roll intimidation if I can.
All right, roll.
And I help him. I'm kidding.
I'll say roll. Yeah.
Oh, no. This guy is just...
Okay, what is it?
Okay, a 20 to a 15.
Let me check the stat. This is intimidation?
Yeah.
7.
Yeah. He looks like he will need more than words to convince at this point. He's beginning, like, stubborn in his position.
Man.
And you say that when suddenly he lets out, as you're staring into his eyes, Sean, his eyes go wide and he lets out a loud cry. Ah! And he backs up and he begins to stumble back as there is an arrow protruding from his foot. And Beethoven is just blowing on his fingers. Wow. And he stumbles back. And then Beethoven says, you know, someone tried to kill me. I'm not going to stop asking questions until I find out who.
So Avon walks over to the corpse and he goes, you know, you and Bertrand look really well equipped for some cultists, as I kind of start pickpocketing through and examining whatever Bertrand had on.
Nice. Okay. And... this guy says, listen, ow, please, listen, I'll talk, please. I'm relatively new to the company. Or to the association.
I turn to the guys and I kind of put my hands up submissively and I say, is this weird doing this out in the open like this? Maybe we should go back inside. And I actually start to kind of take small steps toward the manor. There's a big trap door that's open still from when the ship took off. I kind of am kind of nodding with my head saying, hey, like, we should go back there. So we're not out in the open like this.
I do have one quick question.
Yep.
Does Conroy still have the broom?
As far as I know.
Sorry, the hoe, yes.
I'm pretty sure I do.
So I walk over to Conroy and I'm like, maybe you could let the gardener take care of this fellow. Weasel some answers out of him, perhaps.
I hand over the hoe to Avon.
And I call him forth.
Give me an arcana check.
That is a 12.
You feel some resistance, but you do manage to summon this being. As he only rolled like a 6.
I look at him and I say,
oh, what beast attacked me now? Oh, it's you guys.
I look at him and I'm like, I was wondering if you would like to help us. These individuals defiled the house, which you take care of and tend to. Would you like to try to get some answers out of him?
Who? And he turns and he says, this one's dead, but this one, yes. You guys are in the basement. Once you guys go into the trapdoor, Conroy, this looks very familiar to you as you rode the sky jet out of here. But there's a long underground tunnel that goes maybe 20, 30 feet slightly downward. And then there's a storage room where the sky jet first was. And that goes to another room where you actually came down. But there are several more doors here. This basement is as large as the manor. But you guys are now in the first room where you discovered the abandoned table. And you can actually see the trap door up in the ceiling where you had actually climbed in from. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll say for simplicity, you guys have this cultist tied up in one of these chairs. And just to complete the scene, Dalton is there standing against the wall, leaning. He's resting his arms on the hoe, but he looks pale. And he says, I don't have much strength inside the walls. But I'd like to observe.
I look to Dalton and I say, perhaps you would have more strength from within him.
Whoa.
You can do that?
No, I'm the hoe is my vessel.
Now that the guy's tied up, Sean kind of takes a deep breath. DM, are there any plants in this building?
In this room?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. I say, hey, I don't think all six of us need to be watching one blind spot. Would anyone like to come with me to double check the rest of this basement?
Aven says he'll go.
Really?
Yeah, because he feels that he's not the most intimidating of the group.
I was kind of getting the vibe, Aven, that you was like really into this whole interrogation thing. But hey, Connie, Goran, you guys will keep us informed, yeah?
Absolutely. We'll holler if we need you.
Do it to it.
And okay. I just tag along.
Okay, so Aven, Sean, you guys begin exploring the rest of the halls of this basement. We'll get to you guys in a sec. But as they leave, Conroy and Goran, you guys are there. Beethoven is leaning against one wall, and Dalton's frail, flickering form is against the other wall. And seated in front of you is this sorry state of a cultist. His hood is pulled back. You see his orcish skin, and he is—he looks miserable and like he will not be hard to make speak. He kind of knows. Now that he's tied up, he kind of knows what's what.
I walk up to him. Give him kind of a like. For an orc, does he look powerful?
No, he's short for an orc. He's only like 6 feet.
Loser. I'm kidding. I walk up to him. Does he still have the arrow in his foot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't do anything with that yet, but I again walk up to him as he's in his chair and lean down. So, now that you're here, speak.
Okay, I was thinking about this. I think it's best if we just all calm down and I'll come clean. Orc to orc. Listen.
Don't compare yourself to me.
You're Goran Stahl pending, right?
Still pending, and how do you know my name?
You're one of the up-and-comers. You know, you're trying to make a good life for orcs and paladins and stuff. You're one of the few people that still serves, you know, the God of Justice, as if that still exists in this world.
Continue.
Listen, I come from a group of cultists, but we're only called cultists because we're small, but we're growing. We're getting new followers every day. It's just a matter of time before, what's your god's name, Solaris? Before he's considered a cult too. Nobody cares about justice anymore. Why don't you serve a winning cause? Help us.
And who is it you serve?
I serve Gaia, the goddess of the earth.
She
was broken. She's wounded by this floatium that stays in her being like a plague. Help us remove it.
Poison, you're saying, but cities thrive on this. Can't just take a resource like that away.
Maybe not until we discovered. And he leans forward. He looks deep into your eyes. Aetherium. You saw what it could do. Give it a little bit more testing, development. It's faster, way stronger than floatium.
It almost destroyed us. You too.
You don't think there are any accidents with floatium? I'm sure you still hear about them every day.
Have I heard about any accidents with floatium in the past, like, since our adventure began, let's say?
History check.
7.
No, it's kind of like construction accidents. It's like, oh, they happen, you know, but it could be blamed on the company that mines it. It doesn't have to necessarily, because floatium's evil.
With that, I'll say,
Well, you can't necessarily just put it all on Flodium. Could be user error. Mistakes are made.
Gaia wants to become one again. The longer this Flodium keeps her broken, the greater her wrath will become.
And until I see a danger with Flodium, I don't think I'm the one to stop it. Sorry, but you're not winning me over.
He looks at you, Conroy, man, and he says,
wow. Hey, seriously, good moves. There could be gold in it for you guys. Don't you know? Everyone knows Flodium. Ethereum, that's going to change the world. More than Flodium ever did. It's like Blu-ray.
Blu-ray?
Thought it was yellow.
Sounds like there's a reason your cult's small.
Mm-hmm.
No one's buying into this stuff except for you guys. And I take the arrow and pull it out of his foot. So you'll stay small. And I stand up. Kind of like walk away, stand up beside Conroy.
Okay. Out. And he whimpers.
And to talk bad about the God of Justice, you're lucky I praise him, or much worse would have been done to you.
And... okay. And...
Warren's getting a little bit,
And he...
I'm gonna start flexing on this motherfucker. Oh, my bad.
He says...
Have you ever stopped to ask yourself why Solaris doesn't answer anyone's prayers anymore?
You watch how you talk about Solaris. Solaris was there when I had nobody. Stop. Tell us what you know.
And then he says,
sorry, my mistake. This didn't look quite like a Solaris tattoo to me.
I grab him by his, like, collar. Kind of like lean him, but he's sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bring him right to the ground and I'm hovering over him. What do you know about this?
You know what? He is just automatically going to fail his... you automatically win the persuasion check.
Nice. Finally a win for Gordon today.
Just a quick pause. Conroy, what are you doing in this moment?
I'm what? Just very engrossed in what is the conversation that's happening between them. I'm just kind of watching it play out. So nothing really specific.
Okay. Conroy, give me a perception check.
You got it. 11.
Okay. With an 11, you only notice after a while this is all happening, and as you kind of like stumble back when Gorin does this whole thing, you kind of notice something's missing on your person.
Ooh.
And as you look down, your torch with the green flame is gone. And as you kind of look around, you see that Avon and Shran went down one way, but you notice there's another door that's open. Beethoven is going, whoa, this is escalating way too fast, guys. But Dalsin seems to be missing. But as you look down this other door, unexplored doorway, as you look down 10 feet, you do see the big fur robe. And on one hand, he has his hoe. And he has this green torch, which as soon as it's lit, it turns into a lantern, and he turns a corner and walks out of sight as he seems to be exploring.
I want to follow Dalsin.
Okay.
I say to Gorin.
Gorin?
Gorin's like, you got this. And then I just...
okay. Then Beethoven's going, whoa. But Beethoven kind of stops because he doesn't want to push you to do anything further, Gorin. And what is it you say? You're right over top of him. You say, you tell me what you know about this, or?
Yeah, I, like, with, like, a faint, like, growl in Gorin's voice, like, tell me what you know about this tattoo. Because now he's curious, because the first one, Guinness, was the first one to question his tattoo. Spoiler alert, if you haven't, well, I guess, yeah, you would have known by now. But, yeah, Guinness was the first one to question him about his tattoo, saying it looked different. And now this stranger who knows his name. And not to bring, like, clout to me, like, how renowned is Gorin?
I think he is, like, let's say Kitchener, Ontario, the guy that, like, saved a kid from a well.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I don't know that guy.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody.
Like,
you heard about it on, like, a local run on TikTok kind of thing. Like, okay, like, I might recognize the name.
Okay.
Okay. And he says, that's just not quite how it looked like when I had it.
Whoa. You were a follower of Solaris.
And then you hear Beethoven say, whoa, and he says, lift the sleeve.
Like, I'm assuming he's asking me to lift
mine? No, so he gestures to his, lift the sleeve and you'll see.
I slowly lift it up.
As you lift the sleeve, there is a tattoo of a hand like this. For everyone listening, I was doing the okay sign.
The ball gaze.
And you see there is an old, faded Solaris tattoo. Extremely rookie level. It's missing the paladin mark, but someone who grew up in the faith, possibly a cleric, who had this tattoo. And it looks extremely faded and rudimentary, but just like Guinness's tattoo, just like how yours has looked for most of your life.
I say to him, that could mean anything. You could have broken your oath. Doesn't look like you passed any rank. Kind of disgraces this as Solaris' name.
Yeah, but I was going to ask a question, DM.
Okay.
And I know Avon's not there, but this is a question actually more so just for Ryan, as Goran, and for yourself. How do paladins take oathbreakers? Like, how do they treat them poorly? Do they get angry with them? Do they feel like...
I think if, like, personal, I don't know, Goran would be like, hey, that's your prerogative, but Solaris, the one and only, baby.
I get the impression it's how do oathbreakers treat paladins?
Yeah, I'd like to see them try.
Ooh. Okay, sorry, no, like genuinely, sure. you know what I mean?
I think that's yet to be revealed.
Okay.
And he says, listen, didn't mean to get you riled up. I'm just letting you know I was drawn to this path because Solaris never answered me.
Well, he answered me. That's why I'm the man I am today. You keep your opinions to yourself from now on about who I worship.
And then he kind of slumps dejected, and he says, we made a breakthrough with Ethereum when we found the Artois. They were so close. They just needed money, which we had. I mean it when I say I'm relatively new. I don't know much, but I know Ethereum's not going anywhere. We have the designs now, higher up. But even our money is limited. We're supposed to get a deal with the Nightgrounds.
I stand up, like, with him, lean him back up like he's sitting in the chair and everything. Beethoven, what do you know about this Ethereum?
And he says...
He stayed in the room with me, right?
Yeah. And he says, I don't know much. I just know that the Artois are always working on something strange. You know, they were focusing on constructs for a long time, and that's where their Ethereum came from. It was said to give clay gem-like properties. If you just infuse it with the right runes and had the right components to it, Ethereum is a liquid that you put into clay and it makes it hard as stone and it has magical properties.
Whoa.
Sorry, before I ask this next question to him, can I do an insight check about his Nightgrounds comment about making a deal with the Nightgrounds?
Yeah.
This is driving me crazy.
Sorry, guys. What a mind trip, guys. 5-6, dude. I got a 5.
Yeah. That, I can't give you much. You know what? You can't tell what's truth and what's not.
I'm just going to stay quiet then.
Okay. And he says, the Artois wanted to really streamline this stuff. And hey, that's fine with us. We just want to start getting people used to the idea of getting rid of this Flodium.
Man, I wish I was there.
Goran stays he doesn't respond. Is there another chair in the room?
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4.
I grab one, like drag it up against the wall and just sit back. I've heard enough of your talk. We'll sit here in quiet till the others get back.
Hey, you did the same thing with Emery, dude.
Hey, are you saying I have a pattern?
No, I'm just saying.
Where's Conroy? We're going to cut.
Discreet.
That was sick.
Hey, this is Adam, and I'm just popping in to say thanks for listening to Down to the Dice. If you like what you hear so far, don't forget to subscribe and please leave a review in your podcast app because it helps other people to find the show too. Also, it would mean so much to me and the guys if you told a friend about our podcast face to face. We're going to get back to the show in just a second, but first, I want to let you know that this week's episode of Down to the Dice is brought to you by Francie Planet and his first ever release, Storyboards, which features neither masters nor demos, but stripped down acoustic work tapes. Each one of these whimsical narrative songs feels like a trip to Blockbuster with clever, candid lyrics rolling like subtitles in a Spielberg flick. Find Storyboards by Francie Planet wherever you get your music and be an active protagonist in your own story. All right, that's all from me. Let's get back to the show. We're going to go to Sean and Avon. You guys are walking down these hallways. You find rooms with guest rooms, and you find some old food stores where most of the cans are still preserved. Some have gone bad in glass jars. But then you do find like a study and experimentation room, quite large, maybe like 30 by 60. And you can see that there are many chalkboards with, and there's like light orbs that activate as you get in. But there are chalkboards full of runes trying to be worked out, and there's formulas written down, which they look like they're trying to make some kind of potion. There's a bunch of different vats of clay, and there's a bunch of different vats of liquids, and labeled like test subject 1, 2. But on the other half of the room is where they seem to be doing work on constructs. Different sets of runes, which give these construct instructions that they can follow. That's kind of what you see at a glance.
DM, you said lights turn on when we get there?
Yeah, little light orbs.
Like through magical means or whatever?
Yeah.
Is this something we would have seen in a magical world before, maybe?
High end, yeah.
Okay. So it's not... Okay. As soon as I see the dormant constructs on the other side of the room, I get a little nervous.
Okay.
I kind of say, Ivan, you reckon we got something to be worried about?
Avon looks back and he's like, when have we not had something to be worried about in this place?
I raise an eyebrow. I say, yeah, true that. I kind of grab a pebble off the floor if I can find one, DM, and I kind of toss it that way. And if nothing happens, I kind of... Sorry, does anything activate or anything like that?
No.
Okay. I approach the writings, and the first thing I try to see if there's anything in common or goblin or druidic. And I do know that druids have a habit of leaving messages for other druids to find, as it says like in the sixth player's handbook material.
Yeah.
So I just see.
And this is the writing for the constructs, or the writing for on the clay side.
Clay side.
Okay.
Not that I necessarily know it's that.
Yeah. It's all in common.
Okay.
And you see like. Very clearly written formula 1 testing, formula 2, it goes all the way up to like formula 13, 14, and there's different reports underneath, like pros and cons of different formulas, and 14 is empty,
like they haven't worked on it yet, or
it's empty.
Can I glean
like maybe it was a success and they took it somewhere?
I see. And it talks about how this is about clay.
Yeah, so it's not really talking about the clay, it's talking about this formula, this liquid. Yes. This potion,
I'm telling you, Ivan, I'm a floating guy to the end, but some of the stuff this thing could do, it's pretty amazing. I really think, I don't know what they're figuring out in the other room, but I really think that there's something special going on at the Artois. And either the Artois was getting greedy, or they were in bed with someone who was.
So Ivan is on the other side of the room, looking at the commands and whatnot, and he's trying to like, write, like, obviously he's not an artist, but he's trying to like draw or write down the commands and the arcane like runes and how it's supposed to look like.
Okay, an intelligence check or an arcana check.
I'm pretty sure, man. I suck at
Let's
both.
Let's crack some code.
Yeah, I suck at both.
Come on, man. Nat 20. Let's go.
It's only a 9.
Yeah, you copy down their likeness as best you can in, on some paper in your notes. But you can't decipher them at all. You don't know what they say or what they do, but you have a likeness of them, of some of them in your notes.
So I call her Shran, and I'm like, yeah, Shran, can you just like take a look? And I kind of hold up like this like scroll, and I'm like, can you just double check my work here, make sure it's okay?
I'm as new to this as you, mate. I kind of am trying to look at both, and I do the best I can to make sure it's kind of, it works.
Sure. Arcana check.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Arcana 19, DM.
Okay. So with runes, not anyone can just draw them. They're almost written in a 3D way where it's not just how the shape that they're written, but like how much pressure is put in on certain halves of the letter. So like if you're doing like an M, the first M has to be drawn with more force than the second hump of the M and stuff like that. Like to really imbue magic with it. This is what like artificers do. and Artois more than anything else are artificers.
So does he does he emphasize that back to me so I can fix my feet?
Strahd, you know enough to know that these letters just look like they've been written down. You would have no idea how to do this yourself, but you know that Aven hasn't been doing that.
Yeah, I say, you know what? I think there's a code in the code. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know sometimes, like, in different languages and in different code, like, you use the same characters from language to language, but the way you write it is different. That might be something going on. Let's grab a couple books. And well, if there's any books around,
can you help correct this just a little bit then with the role that he had?
He could probably point out, oh, this doesn't look the same as that, but he couldn't replicate it. He's not an artificer.
I'm not trying to replicate. I'm trying to get like as detailed of a, like a schematic. Like I'm not trying to inscribe this on the paper.
I'll say he helps you to a degree.
Thank you. I turn to him and say, thank you. Istrava will appreciate those notes very much so. And I put the notes away.
Okay.
I say, you know, I look quizzically, but I decide I'm going to leave that hot iron in the fire.
Well, I turn to him and was like, well, she's starting out, right? She'll need the best that she can to get start in the company.
And as Strahd, you stare at Aven semi-awkwardly. We're going to cut. Conroy, you are walking down this dark hallway. You don't have dark vision. Or have we established that you do?
You gave me dark vision.
Generous DM. Okay, you have dark vision. And you're looking down. But as you turn the corner, you see that there is a hallway with a few different doorways that open. And most of them are open, but there are no lights here. But you do see a green flickering light coming down, maybe like the third doorway on your left.
I want to follow the light. And be sneaky about it.
Okay.
In my cloak of veiled shadows.
Okay. As you, first give me a stealth check with advantage.
Come on, man.
It's gonna be a dirty 20.
Ooh, nice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You become one with the night, and you whisper to yourself, "Say it."
Careful.
Daniel!
Discreet.
Yes.
Nice. As you approach this one hallway, you turn and you see Dalton. He has raised up the lantern and there's a small green flickering flame in there. And he is looking at this massive stone door that seems coated in dust, and there are a bunch of faded runes on there, and they look, again, very similar to you. But he's looking at it with fascination, and he doesn't seem to notice you, as he just seems to be pondering the writings on this door. This large, maybe like 10-foot tall door.
He's just like looking at it, not necessarily opening the door.
No, yeah, he just seems to be looking at it, and you're behind him, so you can't tell what expression he has on his face, but it's almost like he's frozen in place. The only thing moving is the green flickering flame.
I step out. I say, can you...
What was that?
I don't know!
Gesundheit.
Oh, no.
Frick. I step out and say, can you read those runes?
And he seems to jump. Oh, Conroy, it's rare someone scares a phantom.
It's rare someone steals from a rogue.
Ooh. Yo. And he says, yo, my dog, dap it up. He holds up a fist. And you guys dap. And then he turns back and he says, that was good, damn. And he looks up and he says, when I was alive, I wrote these. But I don't remember what they mean.
Okay, see ya.
I'm kidding. And he says, the more years pass, the less time I can withstand being in this place. Even phantoms die, and no one remembers them.
Is there a way to release you before that happens? Is that a thing?
If there is, and I'm sure there is, I hope it's not before I see the Artois established again. My legacy scattered in the wind. You know, my son...
Don't do this, DM. This guy used to be nothing but comic relief, and now he's stealing the show. Who is this guy?
And then he says, my great, 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 great. Wait, hold on. Wait, I messed it up. My great, 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 great. Hold on, wait. Great, 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 great. My distant relative grandson, Stella. He started going crazy. I tried to tell him whenever he'd be out on the grounds, just stick to artificery. This chemical's no good. This aetherium drove him mad. He became desperate. He started working with these cultists. Insane. They'd see the whole world return to the core.
Conroy, give me a perception check.
You know what? I just want the whole show to just acknowledge Conroy's really empathetic listening skills. You know what? Sometimes you just really gotta, you gotta be
giving that for him.
It's because, you know? It's because he's gonna steal something later.
I haven't stolen one thing in the regular episodes.
I guess, yeah.
What'd you get, Conroy?
Just a 4.
Okay. Okay, you don't notice anything.
I say, these runes, is there a way I can help you remember what they say or anything like that?
He says, I just had time to read them, but the only place they're written down is this wall.
Like time
and I can't stay in here very long.
Oh, I see.
It weakens me.
Ah, okay. What about it weakens you? The fact that it's just indoors?
The enchantment I said was it's a loophole from death. I could maintain the grounds. Can't do that from inside.
Well, give me a second. And Conroy's gonna run outside and okay. Just bring in some grounds. It's pick up a shrub or something. Or try to uproot a shrub. Okay. Some grass and
That's hilarious.
I don't know. I guess he has his hoe, but I'm gonna try to bring it back in and see if that helps.
Okay. You run outside, you hear Goran having this conversation with this cultist. You kind of run out, you grab a couple potted plants or some plants, you run inside, you kind of sneak past, you run down this dark hallway, you turn the corner, run down more as you turn the corner, and you see Dalsin. But he looks different.
Oh boy.
He is standing with his back to the wall.
Oh boy.
And standing across the wall from him is another phantom, illuminated only by the green fire of the fire of the torch.
Oh, no. Holy.
Is it his hoe?
Dude, I don't know if you remember right, but when this item was appraised by Tom at the Void Chest, Tom said something like, this thing will allow you to see phantoms, or I think said, but don't use it too much. It might summon a phantom you don't want to see. Is that right, DM? Am I close?
Yeah, very, very close. And this phantom takes a step towards Dalsin. And Dalsin says, no.
Okay.
Do you do anything?
Can I help you?
And this woman, extremely old, long, thin hair, and you realize that she's naked, and she turns, and her hair almost comically falls down and hides everything, but she looks quite grotesque, malnourished, and she looks at you with pale, mournful eyes, and she says, "Someone woke me. I can't fall back to sleep." And she turns and walks through the stone door. Moment of silence. And Dalsin says, "Whoa, that was freaking horrifying." Whoa. I'm telling you, man, Stella really messed things up in here.
I'm going to say to Dalsin, maybe we should put out that lantern or torch.
He points to his chest. I kind of need to see.
But you're a phantom. Don't you get, phantom powers?
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
I put it out with my thaumaturgy. I think I can just turn off lights.
You can, yeah.
It's not small lights, yeah.
I asked Dalsin, who was that?
I believe that was my great-granddaughter.
Hmm.
Something seems to have brought her spirit back to this place.
I'm pretty sure it was the torch. But I could be wrong.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Anyway, I brought these shrubs.
Oh, sweet.
Does this help?
And we'll cut.
That's awesome, Dan.
We're going to go back to Goran, and Beethoven's there. He's kind of just like eating an apple from his wares. And he's kind of bored now. And then the cultist says,
listen, if I tell you where to find some sweet loot in this place, will you let me go?
I have no interest in that. Everything I need on me.
Come on!
But I
know some people who end up getting...
Okay, let me just ask you this. What's it going to take for you to let me go? You're not going to kill me. That much I put
together. Not solely up to me. I have to wait for my team to get back.
Back to Avon and Sharon.
DM, I would like to go around the room quickly, just give it a little sweep, to speak, and see if there's any portion of clay... or any vials of this Ethereum. I still don't think Sean has actually learned that term, but I would like to gather any kind of evidence, mostly just for putescent, as proof of what was going on here.
Okay.
But I'll palm some for myself.
Okay, investigation check.
I help, because I would also like to get a little bit.
Okay, with advantage.
Advantage, hey, all right. Investigation, you said, DM?
Yeah.
Okay, 14.
14. You pocket like maybe samples like one through it's quite a lot actually. Like you get all the writings, which might have to be poured over later. You guys with the 14, you can discern, hey, these are just vats of clay kept in water. Doesn't seem to be anything special about it. But then you do find these vials, or like these vats of liquid, maybe each around like a gallon each. Some at various heights. And you discern, this is kind of like the prized possessions here. And they all strike you as like very magical in essence. But with the 14, you can't exactly discern what. But samples 9 through 13 do have a small or a yellow glow.
I grab some of those 9 through 13 and I grab an extra one for 11 and I toss
it to
Avon. Ivan, you got a small container? Extra water skin, something?
Or maybe a vial that perhaps I went and picked up?
That would do it. Take a bit of this. It seemed to work on your item.
It didn't. you said number... It was 1 through 13. Is there anything left for number 14 there?
No. It's everything about 14 has been taken.
Ivan is going to take 3 of the 5 vials and hand them to Sharon.
Okay.
And they're empty. He's going to have to fill them up himself. Avon just kind of wants to take 13.
Okay.
And just cork it and have that for himself.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take a gallon.
Did anyone ever
13.
Get that potion? Did anyone get that potion or that item from Tom's shop that makes potions more effective?
Yeah. I have that. I have the chalice.
Right. Okay.
Yo, Olek. Yo, Olek. So I go ahead and I'll grab some samples, DM, and then once I'm convinced that there's no obvious threat hiding around to get the jump on us, I'll go return to Goran.
Okay. Avon, do you do the same?
Before I leave, I just want to try and see if there's any journals or anything regarding information on the artificer process that would be used with this.
Okay. Investigation check.
It's a multi-class.
Got to learn to make rifles somehow. sorry, you wanted me to do an investigation check?
Yeah.
Investigation. That is a 12.
12. Okay. You find a bunch of journals. You don't know which one's good, which one's up to date. You just take them all.
Take them all? Okay.
Okay. You guys make it back to Goran. Before you do, Conroy, will this is there anything you're hoping to do with Dalsin in this room?
If he can stay in this room longer, now that there's like a little bit of the outside in there, I just want to, I guess, encourage him or help him if I can. But if I notice that it's like not actually helping having like these plants in here, then I'm not gonna like push it.
Why don't you roll an Arcana check for me?
Okay.
Come on, Danny.
7.
Okay.
Man, Conroy can't get a break.
These grounds doesn't seem to break the enchantment that he has. He goes, no, I'm not feeling it. Like, but thank you. I appreciate it, Conroy. You're a bro. And
it's really helping.
Yeah. But then he says, perhaps you could write these runes down for me and we could study them together later.
That's a good idea.
Okay. And he actually helps you. In fact, the more he talks about it, the more it seems to come back to him. All the stuff that we were hearing Aven try to understand, he knows it. And he is trying to coach you. He can't physically use the pen, but he's coaching you on how to write these runes down in a way that they would actually be expressive and replicatable. And so you do that. And we're going to say, for sake of convenience, all three of you kind of, and four of you, including Dalsin, make it back into the interrogation room.
So has Goran broken him? Has he told him everything he needs to know? Or is Goran still wailing on him?
Goran said that he was going to wait until we got back. And if that's still the case, I would like to say, all right, guys, listen. I think in the end, we just got to bring this guy back to the Nightgrounds estate. We got proof that someone here was out to get Beethoven. The Artois were definitely working with somebody. And somewhere along the line, the Artois stopped being useful. And they cut out the middleman. If I had to guess, this guy's got more information. He's not giving it to us. I don't think Goran's going to get it out of him. He's too much of a good guy. A couple little jabs on the shoulder. Let's get him on board.
I look to Goran and I'm like, would that be enough justice served for you, Paladin?
I put my hands on my knees and stand up. I agree. It's proper authority elsewhere who can deal with this.
Then I pause and I say, unless I look at Beethoven and I say, it was your life this guy put in danger. And I kind of step out of the way.
Beethoven, he says, I don't think he's useful to us. We have all the information we need. But I think it would do my father a lot of good to talk to the ones who corrupted his friend. And then you hear a voice say, I think that's a great idea. And as you look, you
come
see
on.
Darkening the
no
doorway.
Freaking
is
way.
Istrabel.
This chick, man. Get out of here.
And she says, you guys are taking, like, so long. So I just brought the ship. Are you guys ready to go? And that is where we're going to end.
Oh, man.
That was a good one. That was a really good one.
Dude, yeah.
Hey, this is Adam, and I want to say thanks again for listening to Down to the Dice. If you like what you hear, please do not forget to subscribe, leave a review in your podcast app, and tell a friend about the show too. And hey, if you really want to support us, there's a link to our Patreon in the show notes where you can hear bonus episodes, including the prologues for all of our characters, and some pre-scatter episodes too. Down to the Dice is brought to you by our editor, Francie, at Hello Francie Sound and Story. You can find him on Instagram for all your sound design and podcast editing needs. And fun fact, Francie is also the singer of our theme song, and if you like that, you should really check out his brand new artist project, Francie Planet, wherever you get your music. Finally, speaking of music, our show's tunes are composed by our very own Jake Joseph, who plays Shrondigoni, with some exceptions, whose credits can be found in the show notes too. All right, that's all from me. Thanks again for listening to Down to the Dice. Let's roll that outro music. We're gonna set it.